listening to Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO on this Thursday, July the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2015. Normally, it's a Ruminations Thursday with our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. But as you know, he was on yesterday because today he has a funeral. God indeed does work in mysterious ways. Who has not heard about what Planned Parenthood has done? And as I walked into the studio, there was my good friend, the Reverend James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. And so we want an opportunity to talk to Jim about what all this fuss is about and his thoughts on it. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Tom. It's been, I've talked to you on the phone a few times, never been in studio with you on Law and Gospel.
So. Yeah, I understand this is the first time in the studio.
It is.
That's excellent.
Yes.
I hope it's not the last.
Me too.
What is all this about what Planned Parenthood supposedly was filmed doing?
Well, what it's about is that it was an undercover video, people posing as researchers wanting to buy fetal body parts and seeing what Planned Parenthood could offer them. And, you know, the context of the video itself, I mean, it's this gal's having lunch and she's eating salad and drinking wine during all this, which makes the people talk about, you know, we're shocked over it. And it's not just the words that were said or what's going on at Planned Parenthood. It's the casual attitude in which it was presented. And I think it's a picture of where we are. I mean, the darkness that's being seen as light and the evil that's being seen as good. It seems to me there was a guy who prophesied about that once.
Yes.
And this is where we see it. This gal's talking just like she's, you know, a salvage for cars or taking parts and wanting to sell them. So that's the context of it. That's part of the horror of it. On the other hand, I don't think we should be surprised. I don't think we should be all that shocked because it's just consistent with what they've been doing, and that is dehumanizing the unborn. And that's been going on for decades.
That's a very good point that you're making, that we, from a theological point of view, recognize that the abortion is really the work of Satan to a great degree. In fact, what absolutely surprises me is that many of these babies in the womb are Jewish, and yet the Jews have often said, never again. And here you have Jewish doctors doing exactly what was done in the sense of getting rid of children who just aren't needed anymore. What is Lutherans for Life's advice to congregations?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to look at ourselves. I think we always need to do that because we're all sinful human beings. We need to look at ourselves and say, you know, what have we done? What have we not done that has brought us to this point? Have we been the kind of voice, the salt and light that God wants us to be? Or have we been silent? Have we been quiet? I mean, I have to look at myself when these things happen, you know, because it's easy for me to say, well, I'm a director of a national for-life ministry, and I'm doing all I can. Am I? Have I? So first we need to do that. And I think individually, congregations need to ask themselves this question. And then I think we need to approach it from a positive aspect. Yeah, we can be Planned Parenthood and rant and rave about these atrocities. We can be anti-abortion. And certainly we need to point that out. But why are we anti these things? It's because we're for life. I love to tell people when I travel is that we're not for life because we live in a culture that isn't. It's because we serve a God who is. And that's a whole different perspective. I mean, anybody can be for life. I mean, there's atheists for life out there. But we're for life because God is. And we have, if you think about it, we've got the most powerful and positive for life message in the universe. It's the gospel.
Yes.
You know, it's tailor-made for these issues of life and death, grief, regret, guilt, sin. I mean, it's tailor-made for these. And yet, so many of our people don't make the connection. They don't make the connection. And, you know, I've had I've had pastors call me, and I remember one young man just out of the seminary got to his congregation, and people were welcoming him and making him feel good. And then one of the elders came up to him and said, you know, we're glad that you're here, Pastor, and we pray we'll have a great relationship. Oh, by the way, don't you ever preach about abortion in this church. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of, people see these as political issues, controversial issues, divisive issues. And certainly they are those, but these are spiritual issues that have been politicized. And we have to help our people understand that they're spiritual issues. For example, you know, Planned Parenthood, as I said, they use the euphemism. So they talk about the products of conception. They talk about ending a pregnancy, you know, those kinds of issues. But for us, this is a human being. But see, biologists can tell us that. Embryologists, I can quote like five different embryology textbooks used in medical schools in our country, and they all say about the same thing, that at the moment of conception, a new right. and unique human being is there. So we can show that. But for us as Lutheran Christians, it's so much more than that. This is not just a human being. It's a human being created by God, knit together in our mother's womb. It's a human being for whom Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross. You know, he died once and for all. God loved the world.
I'm reminded of when John the Baptizer leaped in the womb for joy. He was only 6 months old. Jesus was only 24 hours old because Mary had immediately gone.
Yes.
So here he's leaping for joy over that which is in the Virgin Mary. And even Elizabeth says he does that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's no argument that these people or these babies in the womb are not truly human. And I think one of the best things Lutherans for Life has done is had ultrasounds in some of the states that you need to have that. And according to a good friend of mine who's helping to do that, when an ultrasound is shown to a woman about to have an abortion, 95% of them choose not to do so.
Yes. The statistics vary, 90 to 95%, but it's huge.
It's huge.
And you know, the ultrasound shows, it just destroys all the euphemisms that are used.
Yes.
You know, you look at this ultrasound, and we have 4D ultrasound now, so you could see the baby moving and sucking her thumb and all of these things. And you got to look at that and say, that's not donated tissue. You know?
No,
this,
exactly.
This is a human being. It's so much greater than the euphemisms
yes.
that are out there.
Reverend Bart Day, who's the executive director of LCMS Office of National Mission, put out a statement, and he really backs you up when he has this paragraph. We also admit our own failings in this regard. Whether we have failed to speak and act for life, we repent. Where we have not cared for mothers in crisis pregnancy situations, we ask for forgiveness. Where we have thought more of ourselves than giving to an organization that can assist those moms and babies, we are sorry. And where we have been apathetic to this pandemic of death, we grieve. Now, if somebody would like to give to your organization, how do they go about doing that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I didn't think you would ask that question. But the easiest way is to go to our website, lutheransforlife.org, just all spelled out, lutheransforlife.org, and click on the Give button, and you'll find some options there.
Excellent. You also, when they do that, do they get the publication that you put out, or is
yes.
that extra?
No, once you fill in information, and once we have your address,
yes.
you will get our journal called Life Dates, a quarterly journal, and that is free. And that not only keeps you up to date on the various life issues and the things that are going on, but always connects them to the Word of God and centers them in the gospel of Jesus.
And I believe the first thing I look at every time I get it is your editorial. No, seriously, because you always have a radical way of helping us to understand this, giving us the kinds of arguments that are very important for us. And that comes out, what, quarterly?
Yes.
Yes, quarterly. You also have a meeting coming up?
We have our national conference coming up.
And when is that? Where is that? And how can people get involved?
It's the end of October. And it's in, this year we're doing it in the Creation Museum in Northern Kentucky. So Again, go online. You can register there. All the information is there. We're using a lot of the Answers in Genesis people, Ken Ham, Dr. David Menten, as speakers at our conference.
Which makes a point that I've been trying to make for the last few months is in light of the gay marriage Supreme Court ruling and other things that are happening right now in this, I really believe the true problem that we're having in the country is due to evolution.
Yeah, Ken Ham would agree with you 100%.
Yes.
He sees these issues as symptoms of that foundation being destroyed.
Yes, I was reading Christopher Hitchens, an atheist, and he was trying to argue how they are moral. And he says, look, I give food to the hungry. I help people with housing. But I do so because it makes me feel good about
me,
myself,
yeah.
Which is the deepest sin that one can have. He doesn't even say it makes me feel good about helping them, or it makes me feel good about God because he doesn't believe in God. And that's the difference between a fruit of the Holy Spirit, where we do these things on behalf of our love for Jesus, in contrast to doing it for ourselves. But what else would you like to say?
Well, you brought it up. Bart Day brings it up as well, and that it's more than just sharing words. The gospel's more than spewing nice sounding words into the air. It's the gospel's also doing and showing compassion and mercy. And so as Christians, we need to be doing that as well. We need to be supporting pregnancy centers that are in our area. We need to be volunteering at these centers if we're able to do that. We need to be supporting For Life ministries, not just Lutherans for Life, but there's so many folks out there right on the front lines that are, like you said, the ultrasound things, people involved in those, they need our support. It costs money to buy these things, raise some funds, buy an ultrasound machine. It saves lives. It saves lives every single day. We need to walk beside those who are hurting because of an abortion in their past, because we've got the only message in the gospel that can bring real healing to their hearts. There's no psychology or psychiatry that's going to do that. Only this objective forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. And we also have a message. We haven't even touched on the other end of life yet, but our articulation of what we call the theology of the cross, a theology of suffering,
yes,
speaks so powerfully to those who are dealing with end-of-life decisions. And in fact, we have a God who not only knows about suffering because he's God and he knows all that stuff, we have a God who suffered on the cross, and we have a God who knows how to bring good from suffering. So, yeah, we have this great message, and we need to proclaim it, and we need to be it in the lives of people.
On Tuesday, I had a Bible study, and one of the members asked me about how do I deal with someone who wants to have an abortion. And I had had an experience where a family member had a daughter, and she was going to have her third abortion because the husband-to-be didn't want her, etc. So what happened, I met with her, and I was astonished. Birthright took care of a physician for free. They gave her an apartment. They gave her a job. And they gave her food and clothing, etc. She ended up marrying somebody else, became a member of the congregation. They had a baby, and they're still well. That's what the pro-life movement is really all about.
Yes, exactly. And that's what we're seeing more and more, these caring pregnancy centers that are at pregnancy resource centers, all kinds of names. But it's more than just trying to save the baby. They're there for the mom. They're there for dads, too.
Yes.
More and more, I've seen names changed, like instead of women's clinic.
It's, I know.
Because the dads are involved, and dads struggle and hurt, too, for a number of reasons.
The last point I want to make, because I know you need to get going to other media. When the Supreme Court ruling came out on gay marriage, I said this is probably one of the best opportunities for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to get its message out. I think we're still that sleeping giant, and we need to get Pastor Harrison, for example, President Harrison on Fox News, et cetera, et cetera. We already have some of our people doing this, but I think this is going to be another opportunity because we have a message that people have never really heard that well.
Yes.
And it is something that I think is going to be really helpful to those from a long gospel point of view. And that's what we're doing here on KFUO.
That's right. When I talk to pastors, I tell them, pastors in our seminaries or at conferences across the LCMS, I tell them, we not only have the gospel, but we are able to articulate it in a way really nobody else can. And we can articulate it in a way that connects to people's lives and to matters of their heart.
I would say that's true about the law. The law isn't something where you look at a person, you do that, you're going to go to hell. No.
No.
It's connecting with what they already know in their heart, that
yeah.
this was wrong. Because we know women who have had abortions, maybe 4 or 5 years later, they start getting real guilt and such.
Yes.
The law can connect with that, so they get finally to the point what the law's purpose is what can I do to be righteous with God? And the answer is nothing.
Yeah.
Jesus has done it all.
Yeah, he's done it.
Yes.
It's done.
So I've
yeah.
really appreciated your writings and such. Any final closing comments?
No, I certainly appreciate the work that you do, the work of KFUO, getting these messages out in the programming here. And I just hear more and more of it. You know, I've been doing this 19 years, and back in those early days, there wasn't this kind of messaging going on.
Exactly.
And so I'm really pleased and thankful.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. And did you have anything that you wanted to say?
No, sir, I'm good.
Okay, very good. All righty. So thank you very much, Dr. Lamb, and we'll look forward to hopefully, I understand you're kind of retiring.
Kind
which,
of, yeah.
Which is not very good news. But anyway, maybe you'll have more opportunity to come and be in the studio a second time.
I will. I'm retiring as director of Lutherans for Life, but not as a for life speaker.
Oh, excellent. So. Well, we'll certainly be looking forward to hearing you. And anytime that we can advertise items like what you just did or help earn money for your cause, please let us know.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Thanks.
And that's Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director for Lutherans for Life. And he's kind of busy today because he was just on one of the biggest stations in the country, KMOX, here in St. Louis, 1120. And we're looking forward to him talking now to other media. I really believe that this is an opportunity for particularly the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to join with other denominations who are very pro-life, like the Roman Catholic Church, the Southern Baptists, the Conservative Presbyterians, etc. But there still is a message that Lutherans have from a long gospel perspective that is really, really helpful. Yesterday, I was watching, I believe it was Fox News, and they had people who one was for what the Planned Parenthood is doing, and one was against. And the one who was against it said, you know, this is a ridiculous video because they edited it. Even though it's very clear that Dr. Deborah Nukatolo, I guess that's her name, is talking about how they do an abortion so that they can save parts of the child's body in order to sell them. And she was talking about when they got into the prices, $30 to $100 was what she was talking about, depending on what part of the body, indicating that livers are most requested. And I'm not really knowledgeable why infants in the womb, their body parts, who would be wanting them and for what reason, but I'm sure we're going to hear more about that. But what I found interesting is when this very liberal gentleman, who of course has to believe in evolution, not to think that that is a human being in the womb of a woman, when he was arguing that the thing was edited, all I could think of were the many movies that we see of Jews being taken on trains to concentration camps. And somebody gets up and says, no, 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 no. I saw that movie, but all it was a bunch of people on trains and they got out and they were somewhat abused, but it was edited. There were no pictures of people actually dying in the concentration camps, in the ovens. Therefore, I think it was a lie. You know, these pictures of people coming on trains to the concentration camps. This is the first thing that came into my mind. And I tell you, if I had been on Fox News, it's probably why I'm not. I would have referred to him as Dr. Mengele, because the Nazis did many experimentations on little children and didn't think anything of it. And I think Dr. Lamb's point is that you get to a feeling, oh boy, look at this. It doesn't even bother me. I can eat salad and drink wine while I talk about taking apart a child. I'll tell you. My wife's a nurse, and every now and then we'll go out with people who also have a medical background, and they start talking about kinds of surgeries going on. And I say, look, let's change the subject. I'm not hungry anymore. I can't even, you know, listen to that while I'm eating. Can you imagine that now we're talking about taking apart a child? I want to make one other final point, too, about law and gospel. There's no doubt that we've talked an awful lot about, do you give a person the law or do you give a person the gospel? Well, as we said last week, it's actually wrong to give the gospel to an unrepentant person because they will not hear it properly. They will take it as an attack against their ego. I don't need that forgiveness. I'm not that bad. So the law is really necessary. But I want to talk about something else that fits with this, and I call it first impressions. Now, I have been on KFUO for over 18 years. In fact, 18 years, 4 months. I'm called out to do seminars on law and gospel. I love preaching. I'm set up all the way through October right now. Every Sunday, I have filled Bible classes. I can talk quite a bit about it. But when somebody asks me, where are you on a level of 1 to 10 in regard to law and gospel? I often say I'm at maybe a 4 or a 5. Only Jesus was at a 10. But there are some professors that I would consider at an 8 or a 9, because I'll tell you why. When I read what they have to say, guess what? I learn things that I didn't know. So this law and gospel thing is an ongoing training by God through his Holy Bible. But what I want to talk about is not whether you give law or gospel, but first impressions. For example, if a parent brings their daughter into my office who's not a member of the congregation and she's pregnant, but she's going to be having an abortion and they want me to talk her out of it, the first impression I give to her is really going to be critical. If I look at her and say, oh, so you want to go to hell, eh? You know, guess what? That's probably the end of the conversation. On the other hand, to say the opposite, oh, don't worry about it, God will still love you. That's also correct, but she's misreading that, thinking that God's going to still love my action of an abortion. No. First impressions are really important. And as I said, I've been doing this on this station for over 18 years, plus two previous stations where I was talking about law and gospel. But I want to tell you, not long ago, a friend had some other friends of him there, and I didn't know them. And I started talking about, I'm not sure I was talking about the gay Boy Scouts allowing homosexuals, or maybe it was even gay marriage. Can't even remember what it was. But after I was finished the next day, my friend indicated to me that he was actually embarrassed by what I was saying to these people, because unbeknownst to me, these people were not maybe of the same kind of theological understanding that I was. So there's a perfect example where I failed to use law and gospel appropriately. First impressions. I was, from his point of view, giving an impression that really ought not be the image of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that they want to have. And so when I'm in a Bible study, I often will ask, is everyone here a Lutheran? Then I can say things that I wouldn't be saying, for example, when I was at a Bible study in Las Vegas, where it was one of the Southern Baptist conventions. I would speak differently there because we're not all of the same kind of theological. I wouldn't change anything, but my approach would be different. First impressions, if you take a look at Jesus, when he was dealing with someone like the Pharisees, he didn't mince words. But when he was dealing with the Samaritan woman at the well, you notice how he kept asking her questions, kept leading her along. So first impressions are important, that you don't come off too strongly, especially if you don't know where this person is on the issues. That was my fault in doing that. And it reminds me that I may know a lot about law and gospel from a head point of view, but from a heart point of view, we all have a long ways yet to go. Now, I didn't take questions today because Dr. James Lamb, my good friend, was with us in the studio on a very important breaking story. So tomorrow on Law and Gospel, we can take questions. It's going to be open mic Friday. And we can't take questions on these issues of Planned Parenthood or whatever the Supreme Court ruling said or anything else that might be on your mind. But there may be a Bible passage that you wonder about. Well, ask me that question tomorrow, and we'll do the best we can in answering it. Remember, Law and Gospel is listener-supported, so please listen to the message coming directly after this in order to support our continued radio broadcast at KFUO. God bless.
Each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.